One of the things I was feeling for you as a group, the word kept going, foundation. You know, not me for me, all this estate, one of the big things they did before they built, was not to go that way, but go that way. And they laid foundations, everything is on a foundation. If it's not, it's going to crack and fall. And I felt God was saying that what he's doing with us at this moment is bringing in and laying a foundation. And this is like God is not building up, but he's digging down. And he's laying a foundation. And I believe that the people in this room are going to be foundation stones. But you know what? Foundation stones don't get laid like that. They get laid like that. And we have to lay everything down for God to do what he wants to do. Our own perceived ideas. We just got to get together, and community is about relating to one another. Dorothy and myself was on YouTube about a few weeks ago, and some of you more like have heard the man, but we watched the memorial service of David Paulson and all that he was doing, and they still call the church at Guildford Millmead, they call it a Bible teaching centre, and he was really upset with that phrase. He said, though that's important, he said, the most important thing is us being a community together, relating and serving and working with one another. He said, you're right, teaching is so important. But he said, the importance of being, and he used this phrase, laying our lives down together and being a community. I think that's a very, very important part of what God wants to do. You get that right, everything else is built. And we do really, we want, then when I came through, some of us saw the notice about the village. What we've got to do now, we are living in a new community, but God wants a spiritual community, brand new, built in this physical community. Yeah. And I believe that's going to be important. And I believe there's going to be a period where we're going to see new birth come in and people wanting to find Christ. And I feel we need to pray in what John was sharing about the walls falling down. When you come in, you're a little bit sceptical about one another. You're not here. I mean, in the village of people, well, I don't know about what is his motive or her motives are. But God is going to give us keys of how to break down those walls. And it is going to be a lot to do with praying together. And we need to, we need to make it a regular basis when we come together of praying for walls to break down and people to get over the rubble and talk to people. And I think we're going to be amazing at it. Roger was telling me what he was doing on with his bikes and on the streets, and afterwards we had a good laugh together. And I said, here we are, we've got a new form of pastor in Swindon, the bike repair pastor. And you know, what you've got to think of is this, but isn't that prophetic? That we have got to repair broken lives. Mm. And get there, you know, bikes normally finish up oily and your hands have to be scrubbed in all this special stuff. But we're not worried about that. As long as we can get dirty old bikes back onto the road and running for Christ. Because that's our goal and that's our aim in what we're doing together. I wanted to share that with you first. I also wanted to share something that out of the scriptures, and I want us to turn, if we've got Bibles, into Galatians. Galatians is New Testament. Very, very, very special.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so Paul is writing to the Galatians, and you wonder, sometimes I have to think to myself, this would have been a very good 8th church in Revelation, you know, because Paul, there was such a lot of things wrong with the 7 churches. Only Philippi really was a strong one, but here Galatian church seems in a mess. And Paul, in most of his letters, starts off, greetings to you and so, which is, you know, I give thanks and praise to God for you. But in here, he misses all that out. He comes straight to the point in verse 6. He said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. If you can imagine me coming today, and I said, Richard, I don't want any him. I don't want him. I've got to tell you something, guys. I'm astonished at you lot. How you've moved from the truth in Christ. You've got to get rid of him. Kick him out. Roger, why do you bring this man in? Who are you to say, oh, we're finished with you? It's that sort of thing. But Paul comes straight to the point, I'm astonished. You know, that strong language. And it says, you're deserting. And that word deserting means a man who deserts the army. And he's referred to as a deserter. You know, it speaks to what he's coming to. And he really, and later on he says to him, then, who has bewitched you? You foolish Galatians. He's not treading on nice ground. He's just bang, slam, wallop. He's telling them very clearly that something's gone on. And what is it? And the fact is, in the Galatian church, there was a very strong Jewish Christian believing group. And they had some form of influence, quite a strong influence. The influence was this: yet, although you know Christ, you really got to keep the law, the 10 Commandments. And it was as though if you don't, you can't really be saved. That was the old emphasis that was coming through. And Paul was sort of saying, that isn't the gospel. That isn't what I'm on about, of keeping the law. And in it, he says quite clearly, doesn't he, later on in Galatians, he says, no one can keep the law. That is true. You might think you live a perfect life this week or last week. Everything went perfect. We fall daily, if not hourly. You know, because Jesus said something about the 10 Commandments. He said, listen, even if you think it, as far as God is concerned, you've done it. Now that is strong language. So you just try. I heard a man in the States once say, if you could speak all your thoughts out to everybody that you've thought in the last hour, people would have a very dim view of you. But if they did the same thing, you would might have a dim view of them. So, keeping the law can never, ever bring us salvation. The only one who kept the law was Christ. He was perfect man. He was divine, but he was wrapped in flesh. He was both divine and he was both natural and normal. He was a man. He was the Son of Man. He refers to that. And then we get this amazing thing that he was there and he couldn't do it. Man we cannot achieve salvation. You can't achieve it. We're totally useless. We can't. Look, I'm going to have a really good go at getting saved this week. Sorry, it won't work. But I don't have to achieve anything, because the fact is I can't. But Christ achieved it for us. And he did it, and it was really lovely there. Worship was, Thomas, all the choruses were very much based around the cross. Yeah, really lovely. And you know what? It's all to do with what Jesus did on the cross. It's not me keeping something, it's me believing something. You know, in John's Gospel, it says this, Jesus was saying to them. He said, all right, Christ said, show us, what should we do then to get there? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. And you think, oh, get the list there. What have I got to do? Because that's how we think sometimes. And he said this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What have I got to do? Believe that Jesus died for me at Calvary. It's the only way back to God. I've fallen short, Romans tells us, doesn't it? Said, hey guys, you've all fallen short. And the emphasis is that the arrow was aimed at the target. It didn't even get to the target. It fell short. Everything we've done in our trying, in our efforts, fell short. And God came along, or Jesus came along, and he picked the arrow up, you and me, and he stuck us into the target and said, you're saved. You've done it. You've got it. And as you go through Galatians, you read some stuff, and he says this, Paul does. I'm not going to turn to somebody. Verses, but he said there, he said, look, let's consider Abraham. How did he attain righteousness? And how did he obtain righteousness? Was it keeping the law? Well, the law wasn't given 400 years afterwards, so he couldn't keep the law to get saved. But how was it credited to him? Faith. It was credited to him by faith, nothing else. And you know, in Galatians in chapter 5, verse 6, it says this, by keeping the law, we can achieve salvation. But Paul says this, by faith through love in Christ, we can be saved. And I just find those words amazing. And if you look at any commentaries or any books, it comes up like this. Wesley, Wesley's favourite verse. By faith, through love, we're saved. You know, I just find that just an amazing. When you look at it, in some ways, Christian faith is so simple when you tell it as it really is. It could put people off thinking, it must be more harder than that. But it isn't. It's a simple act of faith. Now, you might say, all right, Bryn, blow the law. We don't need to bother about it. We don't need to keep it. Just drink, live, and be merry and forget it. No, it's like not like that, because in Galatians it says this about fulfilling the law, is to love the Lord your God with all your might and your neighbour as yourself. And when you think of it, Jesus said the whole law is fulfilled in that one sentence, you see. So when I come to Jesus, I don't come to a mechanical thing. I come to a living person who loves me and who died for me, who gave his life for me, it tells us in John, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, this salvation, it's a wonderful thing. You know, one of the hymns says, you can't get round it, you can't get over it, you can't get through it. We can't fully understand it, but it's real. It changes your life. It makes a massive difference. And Paul said this, he said, in Galatians, he said, for me to live is Christ. You know, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who's living, but it's Christ who's living in me. And isn't that what we all want? We don't want to be part there and part there. You're never satisfied that way. It's only when it's Christ living in you. And you know what? I don't know about you. There are lots of times when I know Christ is living in me. And then I move away and I find it's a little bit of dead flesh coming back to life. I hope you realise that there's a little bit of flesh in all of us that is dead, but it does come back to life now and again. And it causes a few problems. You know, anger is a bit of dead flesh coming back to life. You know, and you think, I've got anger. Oh! Somebody pushes you or shoves you around the wrong way. Oh, get out of my way. You know, it's amazing how we come. But Abraham is amazing. And Abraham, it was accounted to him, righteousness was, because of his faith. Not because of his good works or his good deeds, but purely by faith. You know, I think it's just amazing. It's a faith issue. God has given us faith. But you know, this whole salvation of God is amazing. Because he didn't just save us, say, here you are, friend. You got a passport to heaven. He saved me with a purpose and with a plan and with a destiny. We are destined. You know, when these two people talked about they've been to Africa and that. You know, there's been a plan in your life, John, isn't there? And there's been a purpose. Things have looked, you've been to places where you've learned things, and you've been to places where you've been able to bless people, and you've been to places where it's not been pleasant. They're all part of our walk and they're moving in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for you. You know, Jeremiah says this, I have plans to prosper you. I mean, he doesn't say, I've got plans to give you a miserable life. He said, I've got plans to prosper you. And he wants us to be prosperous, not prosperous in the Lord, not just a financial thing. It's a spiritual thing. I tell you this, there's no more fulfillment in life than when you know you're doing what God wants you to do. You know, I'm sure Roger would tell you this. Some of the times he's told stories about, pray with this person, I got healed. You know what? You think, it wasn't me, but God was in me doing it. And you come to this point, I was doing the will of God. Yeah. That's what it's all about, doing the will of God. And it's you know, John, tell them that story of that black girl who came to your petrol pumps and you told her that God loved her.
Oh, she had fallen away from God. She had started...
You didn't know her.
Yeah, I felt... I reach out to people at the petrol pumps because Paul Lapsley taught us how to do it when we went on a... Oh, it's up on... What's it called? The up in Yorkshire. We went to the Harrogate Showground.
All right, yeah.
And Paul Lapsley took us all to Sainsbury's supermarket to go and talk to the customers. I have had a few people report me to the bosses, and I've been in the bosses for it, but I tried to get some prayer and all that. But I just felt at Christmas to pray for this coloured girl. She comes from one of the London Ealing in North London. And I said to Paul, I just feel led to pray for this coloured girl that she won't fall away from God, but she had carried on.
What did you tell her?
And then about 6 months later, I started to talk to this girl in the petrol station about the Lord. She was about 25, 26. And I said, I feel God's... going to forgive you. I feel there's a hand of God in your life to rescue you and for you to come back to the Lord." And she said, I said, where do you come from? And she said, I come from Ealing in North London. And she said, I've stopped going to church because I started going out with a bloke in the, and they're all praying for me. The whole church is praying for me. And I just said, I feel there's a pathway for you to get back to God.
Yeah. Just like that. We have to just move out, and we've got someone with us who's more powerful than anybody in the world, and he's called Jesus.
It's not by forcing it in, just sort of saying, I'm going to church this Sunday, but just gently seeing if they're going to take it. Like, I remember John Wesley sort of said, cast your line into the water once, and I go fishing quite a lot, and I think, well, get the float into the lake and see if there's anything in it. And just gently see God to see if it's going to be led any further.
Yeah. Great. So we're there. We're not... We can't act it and pretend we're perfect. We're not. But in everything, we need to have Christ at the centre. And Paul told the Galatians, you've gone back into the law. He talks about his argument with Peter. Peter was a bit of an hypocrite. He was, because there's lots of Jews there, he's only eating with Jews. But he told them at the council in Acts 16 that God had showed him he should go and eat with the Gentiles as well. But you know, it isn't the law we keep because we love Jesus, but we fail in it as well. We're not saved through the law. We're saved purely through faith in Christ. It is not achievable. But when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he really, really meant it. He accomplished everything there was for us in Christ. And we have, the great thing is, the big, big promise is after death we have eternal life. And you know, people used to say years ago when I was a big beginning Christian, you said, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And people in the church would go and they go, oh, isn't it sad that he died? And I thought you all wanted to go to heaven. And all of that. And then some years ago, Dorothy and me were in a house group in Basingstoke, and there was a man there who was an undertaker. And he said this. He said, I'm really looking forward to going to heaven and being with the Lord. I thought, wow, that's a strong statement. And then he added, but I'm not looking forward to the process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that to me, for a big balance of things, I think a lot of us would say that's the truth for all of us. But we have eternal life, we have a future in heaven. We have a time where Roger will be redundant in praying for the sick. There won't be any sick there to pray for. And we'll all be redundant in trying to convert one another, because we'll all be converted to part of God's family. Amen.